Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
What's up, good people? Gareth Sisti here. Good to see you. Appreciate you joining me. If you didn't catch it, last week, Craig Smith gave his top five UDFAs. Today, I'm giving my favorite top five UDFAs the Chargers picked up this draft season. And then next week, Jamie Hoyle will be doing his top five. So make sure you catch that. Go listen to the podcast. We're also on YouTube, so you can watch it as well. Today, if you are watching this on YouTube, I'm going to be showing clips of each UDFA. Also, because I'm a big cheater and I don't follow rules, I'm going to give you some honorable mentions because honestly, at the five, I felt like there's maybe like three other guys I could have put in this five at the five spot. Just want to give some shout outs to some of them, but then I'll go through the top five, talk about maybe where there could be some competition, maybe a practice squad ability, maybe one of these guys makes the roster in the 53. We'll talk about it. So let's just jump right into it. No bits, no funny stuff. Let's just go into it and talk about the Chargers' top five UDFAs, starting with the honorable mentions. So for me, right off the top, I have three of them, by the way. So really, it's almost kind of like a top eight, but don't tell anybody. And quite honestly, I don't care if this is cheating because I don't have two other knuckleheads having to tell me that I'm doing something wrong or making me choose because I'm doing this on my own and I don't care. And just like in the score more days, I play by my own rules. So I don't care. So honorable mentions, we're doing a top eight. I've got a solid top five, but here's some guys that just fell outside my top five. First up, a small school kid, Andrew Farmer. He's the edge player out of Lane College. He was a HBCU standout. Had 114 total tackles, 44 tackles for loss, 17 and a half sacks. Also had 25 tackles for loss last season. Rotated at edge. Also saw him play some three, some four, some four eye. Great play strength. Wins with leverage. Got an explosive first step. And he dominated that lower level competition. So I think he developed enough traits to kind of be in the mix for some competition at edge. Obviously, you've got your top three in Khalil Mack, Joey Bosa, and the second-round pick, Thule. But after that, Chris Rumpf, and then everybody else. We saw last season they were just signing anybody and everybody off the street to play edge. And so here at the bottom of the depth chart, I'm not saying Farmer's going to beat out Chris Rumpf, but I think there's going to be some competition there. I know some people like Brevin Allen. He's the edge player out of Campbell. But to me, you know, I like the size. He's 6'3", 260, I think. Has some tools. My favorite traits of his are his play strength and his hands, which are pretty good. The thing that knocked him down my list, personally, is the fact that he is a very low-end athlete, and he has a very slow get off the line of scrimmage. So the fact that he's almost the last person to engage, and he doesn't have the athleticism to make up for it, to me, knocks him down my list. I wouldn't put him in my top eight, maybe at nine. But I've got Farmer a little bit better. I like the tools he's got, and I like the fact that he's got such a good get off, and that he dominated all lower level competition. So really put up a ton of stats. I know Brevin Allen did pretty good too, but for me, I get Farmer the nod. He's in my honorable mentions. Next up on my list is another small school kid, school I'm sure you never even heard of until just now, which is Delta State. I didn't, and I know you didn't either, and don't lie because lying's not good if you say you knew Delta State. Unless you're Michael Peterson, because he probably knows somebody from that school because he was a small school kid too. But this is the tackle, Nicholas Melsop. So he is a former tight end. He's 6'7". He converted to tackle at Delta State. He's still a lineman, kind of learning the position, but of the few games I was able to see out of Delta State, slowly was able to progress with each year. That's why he didn't get on my top five also, because I didn't have enough to really go off. But little that I did see, I liked. The athleticism, being a former tight end, really shows when you get out in space, especially in outside zone. Because he's tall, he wins with leverage. On the edge, he had his issues being playing a little bit too high. He is 6'7", so being a taller edge player, he had his issues out on the out on an island. I think in the NFL, they might kick him inside at guard. But in camp, I could see him competing with Foster Sorrell at right tackle for that like kind of swing spot, and then also getting some reps inside. He's not going to beat McFadden, probably not going to beat Foster Sorrell, but a guy that I think when you're looking at, you know, competition at the swing tackle position, I think Millsap could be one of those guys. I'm not sure he makes the 53, but I think best case scenario, you've got a practice squad spot for a guy that's got some traits, got the frame, and is going to need some years to develop. He's not a plug and play type guy by any means. So maybe a guy you can keep on the practice squad for a couple of years, could never have too many linemen. And this is one of those guys that might have some versatility, played some tackle, probably going to play inside at guard if he ever makes it in the NFL. So there's some position versatility there too. So in that list, Nick Millsap is my other one. And my number six, and a guy that just was outside my top five. I kind of went back and forth on my five and this guy, and it is the tight end at UCLA. It is Michael Azeka. He was a former wide receiver playing tight end. As a blocker, he improved each season, but still he's a work in progress. He's not all that developed in terms of a blocker. Hands are pretty good that you saw as a pass catcher. Didn't have a ton of stats. Route running is above average. He's pretty physical after the catch. A guy that will take on contact and initiate contact. Throughout UCLA, he slowly put on 30 pounds of muscle to develop into that tight end because he started out as a wide receiver. So he's still growing into that, could probably stand to gain a little bit more muscle as well. And as you know, and I know, Chargers need depth at tight end. They didn't draft a tight end. They didn't pick up one in free agency. So, you know, towards the back of that tight end spot where you've got Gerald Everett, you got Trey McKitty, and you know you got Donald Parham, who they brought back again. Stone Smart is a guy they were developing last year at tight end four. Azeka is a guy that can compete with Stone Smart for that tight end four, tight end five position. Not that they're going to make the – not that Azeka will make the 53, but I think there's some competition there. Really, he blew out during USC. He had a three-touchdown game. That's a big part of where his stats came from. Didn't have a ton of catches in college. Didn't have a lot of – receiving options. So, you know, it's not like you can look at this and say, hey, I think this is a top five. That's why he fell outside. From what little you saw of him as a pass catcher, it was nice. Of course, it was a rivalry game. They played against USC, woke up when it mattered, and that's great for him and the Bruins in that game. But honestly, you know, it still remains to be seen if he is a good pass catching option, and he's going to have to improve the blocking and is going to need to put on some muscle. So a guy that, again, could be another practice squad option, but he is just outside my top five. So let's get into top five. Top five here, starting with number five. I'm going to go 5-1, give you some clips here too. Number five, Ontario Pokey Wilson. Now, apologies to Pokey's mom. Pokey's too good of a nickname to go by Ontario. I'm sorry, and I'm probably mispronouncing it anyway. Easy enough, because I'm not going to call him that. He's going to be Pokey from the day he starts in camp till the day he's no longer a Charger. He is Pokey Wilson. It's too fun to say. It's too good of a nickname. Apologies to your mama, but I know she was proud of Ontario when he came out, but Pokey it is from here on out. I'm calling you Pokey. Everybody else is calling you Pokey. It really, I could just say Pokey for the next 20 minutes and be happy. So Pokey Wilson, the wide receiver out of Florida State. So he's a fifth year senior. He slowly got better throughout his tenure at Florida State. He's got 9 receiving touchdowns over the last 2 years. He's not very fast. He could scoop by defenders. He's just deceptively fast. I think that's why a lot of DBs were surprised by him, because he hits his top end speed very quickly. So he eats up yards quicker than a lot of wide receivers. So, you know, you look at the testing, you see that he's not a very fast wide receiver, but he is deceptively fast. He can scoop by defenders. He wins with the first step off the line of scrimmage and showed a real ability with those hands. He's got a wide catch radius, often bringing the ball down with one hand. I'm sure if any of you haven't already, I'm sure a lot of you already did, look up Pokey Wilson's highlights. A lot of one-handed catches in there. He's got pretty good hands, and the length helps him when the ball is in the air. That's why he can reach out and grab those balls with one hand. Good length for the position. The guy didn't get a single offensive coordinator for over one season. He had six different OCs, a bevy of different head coaches, and wide receiver coaches. So really, he needs some stability, and I think he'll get it here in the NFL. Though there is some good, there is some bad, obviously, as well, the reason why he wasn't drafted. For me, my biggest level of concern is the separation. His route running isn't all that well-developed. He's just kind of sliding by guys, and I don't think that's going to work in the NFL. That's part of the reason why he never really put up a lot of production in college, never really developed into that wide receiver one that FSU wanted. So let's just go into some clips. Let's talk about, let's just look at some of the good stuff and some of the stuff that I had mentioned, and one of which is the get off at the line of scrimmage. So here we go with Pokey. He's at the top of your screen here. He is your wide receiver at the top. You saw just from that clip, good off the line of scrimmage, ran right by the corner, no safety help, no idea why the color change, dramatic color change in this clip. That was part of the broadcast, but here's that get off the line of scrimmage. Jab step and gone. And that's kind of where I was saying he eats up yards. Whoops, eats up yards in a hurry here. Nice dance from Wilson. Boom. And go. It's just a go route. He's running straight by him. There is no other moves in between because he didn't need it. There was no safety help, and he was right off the line of scrimmage. You love that first step, though. That first step, jab and go. Boom. Gone. Easy six for the Seminoles. All right. So the next one here is his ability to get some yards after the catch. Now, he's not a guy that's going to, you know, going to outrun anybody. Like I mentioned, he is deceptively fast, but this is kind of the culmination of what you get from Pokey Wilson. So he is in the slot here. And it's kind of a busted coverage. The linebacker thinks he's got safety help. He doesn't. And as you see here at the 40, they're even here. As soon as they catch the ball, so he's got it and he's in stride. Most wide receivers, if you've got that speed, you're taking that to the house here. Pokey, not so much. So the corner, he lets the corner get on him, but won't let him bring him down. So some bad, can't outrun him. But able to break a tackle. Whoops. Go here again. Break a tackle. Moving. Break another tackle. Then you let somebody catch up to you. You're running laterally and you're tackled. So, you know, he didn't do anything here in terms of route running. It was just kind of a busted coverage where the linebacker thought he had help. Corner comes and misses the tackle there. Another missed tackle there. Here comes another DB and is going to eventually bring him down. But that's kind of Pokey Wilson in a nutshell. He'll get open. He can break some tackles, but he's not putting on any moves. He's just kind of a tough kid to bring down. And so that's what you're going to get out of him. And Pokey, a guy, my number five, enough traits. I think that at the bottom of your wide receiver spot in camp, kind of bottom of the depth chart, might be able to compete with Jalen Guyton. Maybe even Keelan Doss, but more likely, I think it's going to be a practice squad spot. And quite honestly, he's got a fun nickname, and that's all that really matters. So Pokey, number five. Number four, a guy I'm not really hearing a lot about. Elijah Dotson. He is the running back, Northern Colorado, also out of Sac State. Some fun tape to watch. Has some experience at running back. Also at returner at Northern Colorado. He is 5'9", 202. So he's a little smaller running back, but he's got very good vision. He is shifty. His play speed is much quicker than he's tested. He's another guy that didn't test very well, but he's very shifty. In the open field, he's quick enough to run by guys, can also make guys miss. Showed off some real nice hands in the passing game, so much so that I saw him line up in the slot, line up wide as a wide receiver. They wanted to get the ball in his hands a lot. He is a playmaker. He lacks size and athleticism, but he can pitch in a multitude of ways. Special teams, receiving weapon, running back. And so let's look at some of what Dotson can give you here. I got a couple clips here. First off, it's the power. So even though he's shifty, this is from him in his Sac State days before he transferred to Northern Colorado. He's a tough kid to bring down. He can beat you in the open field, but also he can run with power. Here's a pitch here. Got the offensive line out in front. Boom, lowers the shoulder. Two missed tackles. Spins off another guy. It took four guys to bring him down. Let's look again. Out here, look at the vision. Hits the hole. Boom, turn and go. Head down. Get off me. Spin. Tackle. Nice little piece of running there from Dotson. Give you another look at it while I pull up the next clip here. Through the hole. So he's got some power to his game. Next up, I talked about the one cut and go. This is his most impressive hit the hole and just go. Again, Sac State here. Open up a lane. One move. DB's frozen. Absolutely stops his feet and he's gone. One cut, go, right by him. See ya. And a touchdown. So he's got that one cut and go type ability, which is nice when you see it in the hole there. And then I want to show you some of the moves here in the passing game. All right, so he is the running back here right next to the quarterback. There's going to be some motion. Get it right to him. So he's going to be on the quarterback's left-hand side. He's motioning. Get him the ball. He's dead, right? Three guys there. Two guys bearing down on him. Make them both miss. A third guy miss. You're down the sideline. Linebacker got some wheels, though. Get a catch up with Dotson. Here we go again. Can make you miss in the open field. Boom. Jab step gone. Missed tackle. Down the sideline. Has some speed, can get down the sideline, can't get by him. So number four for me is a running back. Now, Chargers are pretty deep at running back. Austin Eckler's back. They got a big role for Isaiah Spiller, hopefully coming up here soon. Joshua Kelly showed out last season, and I think this is a RB4 competition here with Larry Roundtree, who has just become a guy. They gave him opportunities to win some snaps, and he has not earned that so far in his career. So I say it's Elijah Dotson and Larry Roundtree kind of fighting over some of those RB4 snaps here in camp. Again, I'm not sure that Elijah Dotson makes the team, but I do think he's got enough skills to compete for that RB4 spot with Larry Roundtree. I don't think they keep four running backs if they do, but I think this is a nice little piece here for some competition in camp. Next up here, another guy I'm not hearing a lot about. Was surprised because I went and watched him and was very pleasantly surprised with his tape, and that is Taiwan Mullen, the corner out of Indiana. He is my number three UDFA. So he comes in undersized. They have him playing out wide, but what he makes up for it is his play speed on the field. He's got really good click and close, can run with any receiver down the field, has the closing speed to break on anything in front of him, which is why he's so good in zone. He is aggressive at his size in the run game, physical in coverage as well. I'm going to show you some clips of that. Now, he can get swallowed by bigger linemen if they can pick him off at the second level, but where he's at his best is where he can knife inside and make that tackle, get around offensive linemen. He's got the play speed to do that. And he's also got some added value as a blitzer because he is an athlete. Again, they played him out at the boundary for the Hoosiers, and they had him match up with every wide receiver one. While watching his game, they played Penn State in 2020. He was a freshman, and KJ Hamler was playing for Penn State, and he was getting first-round hype preseason, during the season. A lot of people loved KJ Hamler, the now Broncos wide receiver. He was getting hype. And he said he wanted him. He wanted to take on Hamler one-on-one the entire game. He had two catches on the day. One of the catches, it was not on Mullen. They were in zone. But he's got real competitive nature, and you got to love that in your cornerbacks. He broke out in 2020. He had a first-team All-American selection. He was the only corner in school history to ever have that honor for Indiana. He ended up getting injured in 21, so his season got cut short at 5 games and didn't really live up to the hype in 2022 compared to his 2020 season. So he is a guy that showed a lot on tape, and he's got some football bloodlines, by the way. His brother is Tavon Mullen, who was drafted by the Raiders. He is cousins with Lamar Jackson. So they've got some of that bloodline in that Mullen family. Let's take a look at it, because if maybe some of you have seen tape from Mullen, but I want to show you some of the good. First off, we talked about the run D and how he is at his best when he knifes inside and avoids blockers. He is at the top of your screen. He is out wide against the wide receiver. He is coming off a screen. He's going to read it perfectly, knife inside the blocker and make the tackle. You're going to see it there, but we're going to get a closer look here on this next angle. This is absolutely beautiful. Reads it right away, knifes inside, bam, tackle. Love to see that. Beautiful timing play here too. See the wide receiver kick inside, tackle. Love it. Here's another angle from it. And we're going to get another running play here too. Look inside, cut inside. Wide receiver can't get him. Dive at the legs. Nice strong tackle to bring him down. Here he is lined up in the slot. They played him out wide or in the slot. Again, he shadowed wide receiver ones a lot, but played inside. He's going to avoid another block. I apologize. He's not playing the slot here. He's out wide again. My bad. He's out wide again. And number 31. No wonder. I was like, he had a 3 on his jersey. Slot's 31. Mullen's 3 right here. Boom. Easy tackle. Nice. Nice strong tackle diving at the legs. Here, flatten out. No gain. Love that run D. All right. Next up here, I want to talk about him as a blitzer, because he is an absolute weapon, and he was for Indiana. Again, number 3 here. He's here kind of wandering at the second level, going to creep up to the line of scrimmage. Bam, he's off and running. Nice ankle tackle there. This is kind of a compilation of him blitzing, getting some sacks here. Let's look at this again. Creeping towards the line of scrimmage. Boom, firing off. Sack. Next up, same game. Boom, he's on the outside here. He's lined up in the slot here. And that's really him. It's not 31, I promise. 3 from the slot. Go. Got inside the wide receiver. Just a terrible effort by the wide receiver, by the way. Right by him. Tackle. Bring him. What I love the most about this is the way he plays his QB's feet. Bam. We're going to get an even closer look here. He just jabs at. He's trying to get away. Take out the legs. Here comes another one. He's out wide again. Bam. Now, an NFL quarterback, going to see him coming. But the fact he's able to close, boom. That's ruled a fumble. Indiana recovered that one. But coming from out wide, bam. A lot of production as a blitzer. So he's got some added value there. And then here's where I want to show how strong he is through contact. He is a smaller corner, and you got to play tough if you're going to be that short. So he is out wide here, and he's going to come up and help on the corner. Oop, boom. He's going to help again. There's 31. He's going to help come on, but physical, playing the hands, taller wide receiver, bringing him down. 31, not really helping, wishing he would, Fitzgerald there would give you a little bit more of a hand there, but threw his body into it. Now here's Mullen here at the bottom of the screen. They're going to try to get to him. He comes off his coverage here at the end, breaks in on the slot route, and going to play the hands again. Bam. Don't let him come down with that catch. Very physical. Here he comes again. Fitzgerald has the coverage, but he comes backside. Boom. Nice help there. Good read. So a guy who's physical, added blitzer. He's smaller, so I think he's probably a nickel corner in the NFL. Best utilized in zone. I talked about his success in zone. So let him break on footballs, because as you can see in a bunch of those clips, he can break on some footballs, anything out in front of him. With Bryce Callahan out, you could use some more depth at corner. So expect, you know, Taiwan Mullen and maybe even Kamon Hall battling it out there for some corner depth. So he's my number three. Again, I'm not sure he makes the team, but definitely some nice competition with Kamon Hall, who's kind of been hanging around the roster that they've been kind of developing, but a nice little nickel corner there. Number two is not a corner, but a DB, a guy who played some corner. And it's A.J. Finley out of Mississippi, at Ole Miss here. And man, those jerseys, I picked this picture on purpose for this graphic because those are clean. I love that blue with the red and the white. It's a nice jersey combo here for Ole Miss. So this is my number two here, defensive back, A.J. Finley. A good length, versatile DB. He was a teammate with Dean Leonard. He's been with Ole Miss for a while. The seventh round pick for the Chargers. He is a free safety in the NFL who has some real ball skills. He's had at least two interceptions in the last three seasons. Finley was really impressive at the East-West Shrine Bowl game. I've got some practice tape, actually. I will show you that in a little bit. After watching that, kind of surprised he went undrafted. He's been kind of hit and miss as a tackler, but really improved this past season, both statistically and with his consistency. He got 3.5 tackles for a loss, led the Rebels in tackles this past season. The downside here, as you can kind of see in the picture here, he's slender. He's 6'3", 205. He doesn't really win with athleticism, so bulking up is probably got to be his priority right away. He wouldn't lose much by gaining much weight. The body just, I don't think, is going to last in the NFL if he stays at the weight he is. So I think he's going to have to put on some muscle in the next level. So let's talk about some of this stuff, and then we'll talk about his fit with the Chargers. So we are going to pull up some practice tape. Looked at some game tape, but we're going to go with our first up. It's going to be practice tape. This is with the Shrine Bowl. First up here is a cover one robber roll. You're going to see him. This is a two shell, and he's going to switch from a two shell to the post. He's going to be here in the dark helmet, and he is, let's roll this here, two shell, post, he's going deep, going to come off his coverage, collect it, interception. Now, spoiler alert, he had three interceptions in this practice, but let's look at this again. Two shell, post, going to read the quarterback, come break on the ball, easy catch there, nice little ball skills, showed that in college as well. Next up, same practice. He's going to be in the slot. No, not this one. Hold on. I want this one. Oh, boy. Hey, so just so you know, don't share too many videos because it'll slow you up, and that's what it's doing right now for me. Okay, let's pull it up again. But this is, I'm surprised everybody watching this practice didn't look at A.J. Finley and say, hey, he's got the ball skills to help out an NFL team. Okay, so we're going cover two here. So last clip, we were in cover one. He was the robber. We saw him switch. And this is the versatility that's really important. Went to the post here. Again, dark helmet. It's in cover two. It's going to be a two high shell. He's going to carry two wide receivers with him. See two wide receivers right in front of him. He's one-on-one. The corner there at the 40 is going to come and help out. But quarterback thrown off his back foot. He carried the two wide receivers as he's supposed to. Reads the quarterback. Terribly underthrown ball. Able to dive, make an interception. Even with your own teammate diving in front of you, he was able to make that play. So, carries the two wide receivers, breaks on it, comes back, boom. What I love about his play so far, this back pedal, man, is really impressive. Boom, flip the hips, break on the ball, come back, interception. It's beautiful. Perfectly executed. Now, here's the one I want to show you. This is the third one. He's playing the slot here. Beautiful little transition here. We're in cover three. We saw cover one, cover two, cover three. Saw him in the post, too high. Now we're in the slot. This kid could play a lot of different positions. So as we're lining up in the slot here, Finley's going to flatten out here. He lets his receiver run by him. He flattens out to grab the running back out of the backfield, flattens out, reads the quarterback here. But look at this backpedal. As he flattens out, beautiful backpedal, backpedal transition, flip, boom. Hit right in front of the wide receiver. Wide receiver is covering. He's going to come back and get him and jump right in front of that pass. Boom, three interceptions. One practice, Shrine Bowl. He could really play any DB spot. The Chargers might want to try him everywhere in camp. I think he's probably best suited as a free safety. Let him use those instincts, as you saw in those three clips. Some ball skills to create some turnovers. I think he could really help himself out if he can make some noise on special teams. Maybe even earn some snaps at free safety. That position obviously is still up in the air with Alohi Gilman JT Woods at free safety. So they could use some depth there. And this is one of those versatile DBs that, you know, a guy like Brandon Staley loves. And this is one of your guys. Got some ball skills. Hopefully he can bulk up a little bit, but I think he could be a free safety and pitch in at corner if you need him. Can play some strong safety. I love the versatility. All right, last up and number one is Gerard Clark, your number one UDFA. And a guy I had a draftable grade on. I was hoping the Chargers could draft him. They end up getting me as a UDFA. It's a beautiful thing. So came into college as a tight end and was 230 when he came into college. Today, he's 334 pounds and he's playing nose tackle. Really transitioned. Really good snap quickness. Makes contact with force when he engages. He's a pocket pusher as a run defender, getting O-lineman quickly with his get-off. He showed a really good bull rush, but his pass rushing chops are still developing. He's got a 6 foot 10 inch wingspan that lends to some serious upper body strength. So you love the length there for a defensive tackle. Also gets his hands in passing lanes. He used that 6 foot 10 inch wingspan to knock some balls down. He did it a lot in practice. He is going to need to develop the hands and agility a little bit better. He's got the long arms, but the hands need a little bit more work. And, you know, even though he's a space eater, he doesn't really have the range to kind of get running backs outside of his kind of quick little range of his arm length. He can't really get outside. So, you know, prove the agility a little bit, might slim down a little bit, maybe to work on that agility, because he's got the athleticism. He just doesn't get there quite as much as you'd like. So what you're looking at here is a guy that I think could quite possibly make the 53. And I want to show you some clips here. Now, run game was a problem for the Chargers. This is a guy that can come in and fill and help out, I think, right away. So here I want to show the get off. So a guy, again, can really burst off the line of scrimmage. He's going against the right guard here. And one of the first guys to engage hits the right guard's right shoulder. And he's inside already. Tackle for a loss there. Beautiful get off again. He's got more depth than everybody on this line of scrimmage so far. He's probably tied with that 94 edge there. But getting inside, working up field, working that right shoulder, right guard, getting the tackle for a loss. Beautiful get off there. Again, look at, he's the first one off the line of scrimmage. I know that was quick. I'll give it to you again. But he's lined up this time. The right tackle, right guard crashes down. And he's no match for, look at Clark. Already off the line of scrimmage. Guys are still down. You got an edge with his hand in the dirt still. Bam, first engage. He's already past the line of scrimmage. Coming outside, working inside, getting the running back. Tackle for a loss. Let's run these two back again. Boom, inside, clip, bam, tackle for a loss. Big, gets there in a hurry, man. Beautiful, beautiful. Two reps there. And you see, that's the get off you can get from him. You're not going to get a lot of pass rushing reps from him, but he's a space eater that can wall up. Now, you know where Gerard Clark is. He's the big man in the middle here. You can't miss him in this clip right here. All right, big man in the middle. And just creating a wall. Look at the wall. Wall up front. Running back's got nowhere to go. He makes the tackle there. Nowhere to go. All right, Gerard Clark, let's give it to you again. Just look at the wall created by this, by Gerard Clark. Basically taking on two guys. Still getting the tackle. Ran right into his lap. Next up, Gerard Clark right in the middle there. Wall up. Create another gap right where the running back's trying to shoot here. Trying to shoot between the B gap there, not with Gerard Clark. Move it over. Bam. Big human being creating a wall at the line of scrimmage. All right, here we go again. While he's still getting pushed back, I know some might complain here on this next rep. So, not getting much progression upfield here. Not getting much progression, but keeping his eyes in the backfield. He's still at the line of scrimmage. Help cleaning up what his teammate's doing. Help creating a wall. A guy that can absolutely wall up Gerard Clark. And I just want to throw this in for fun because it's fun to see a big man run. He's gonna get a sack. Again, he's not going to get a lot of sacks because he just doesn't have the pass rushing chops. He's more of a space eater. He's going to wall up. He's got the get off to kind of get in the line, get in the backfield. But this is fun. Here's Campbell, by the way. Able to see some Brevin here in this game. All right, so Clark is still at the line of scrimmage here, but keeping his eye. And look at this. Watch this close. Go, Clark. Two people miss. No, not Gerard. Let's look at that again. Here he goes, running, stopping on a dime. Big man closing speed. Look at that. That's just a fun play right here. You love the big man cleaning up a sack two guys couldn't make up front. So for me, this is beautiful. This is a real nice one-gapping nose. You add some beef to the Chargers' defensive line rotation right away. Add some toughness in the run game. A guy who can reset the line. To me, this is plug and play. Take out Braden Fehoko. Put in Gerard Clark. Quite honestly, I think a better player right away than Fehoko was coming into the league. And I think a guy that can make the 53. I think Gerard Clark, again, I think this was a draftable player. Not a lot of teams want a straight up nose. So he fell further than he should have, but I think Gerard Clark's got the best shot of making the team of these UDFAs. The rest of the players are probably camp competition with some potential to stick on special teams, but that's it for me. I appreciate you guys for joining me and we will see you next time. Thanks for joining. Love y'all. And don't forget to subscribe on YouTube, the podcast. Make sure to listen to Craig's top five. You're hearing mine now. And then listen to Jamie, who's got his top five coming up. We'll see y'all at camp, and we'll see you next time.